verses 1 through 5. And before I go any further, is anybody who did not get a sheet from out front? So we'll go to Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, and then we'll look at Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. But in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, the Bible says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Now here we see Jesus is teaching about judging and self-righteousness. Looking at oneself as being better than somebody else. We're going to compare these verses with what Paul says in Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. So in Romans 2, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" So here we're seeing Paul is warning the saints, saying, do not judge, because what you judge others with, God will judge you by. And if you do judge others while committing the same sin, you're condemning yourself. And just because we judge others, we also, in our own sin, will not escape the judgment of God. But that brings us to question one. What is Jesus' command in Matthew chapter 7, in the very first verse? What does he command us to do? And feel free to speak. Judge not. We are not to judge. Now, in light of verse 2, how does verse 1 become more of a warning than a command? So in verse 2 it says, "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again." So after reading verse 2, how does that turn verse 1 into more of a warning? We shall be judged. We will be judged with the same against the same things that we judge others. The same sin that somebody else commits and we ourselves do, we will be judged the same, for all of us are even in God's eyes. Nobody is any less of a sinner than another person. Now, create a hypothetical or actual, whichever one applies to you, example of a speck versus a plank. What small thing might someone criticize another for when that same issue is large in his own life? Basically, what it's asking you is, what is something that you would look at somebody else and point out in them, but you yourself would be doing the same thing? What is an example that we could use to kind of bring that into apply to our own lives? Lies. Lies is a good one. What is something else that can be applied? Covetousness, looking at seeing what somebody else has and then wanting it for yourself. So all of these are sins that we all do, but we might look at somebody else and condemn them for it. Well, in doing so, we're condemning ourselves. Now, why is it hypocritical to discuss the speck in someone else's life without dealing with the plank in our own life? Because we're doing the same thing, right? When we're out here, let's say that you're a parent, and a lot of us, you know, we have kids or nephews, and let's say that, you know, they're running around. Let's say they fall, and let's say a word slips out their mouth that they shouldn't be saying. Well, of course, we're going to jump on them and say, "Hey, that's a word you shouldn't be saying." But then we'll turn around in a normal conversation and we'll use the same word. Are we not being hypocritical? How can we discipline our own children if we cannot set the example? So it's hypocritical. We have to deal, before we can teach others and instruct them, first we have to deal with the same sin in our lives. Because without being able to do so, how can we instruct? Because we cannot set forth the example. What is the proper order of events given by Jesus in verse 5? So in verse 5, I'll read it to you, and then tell me what the order of events are. "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." So what is the order of events? What are we first to do? Get the beam out of our own eye. Deal with the sin in our life first. What is the next step? After dealing with the sin in our own life, we are able to clearly instruct, whether it, the Bible says your brother or anybody else, you know, how to deal with that sin in their lives. You can set the example, then you can lead, you can instruct. And then after you can see clearly, after your sin has been dealt with, you can instruct the one that's sinning as well. And together, you can fulfill, you know, what Jesus is saying. You won't judge. Now, how do Jesus' words in verse 2 echo the Old Testament principle found in Exodus chapter 21 and verses 23 through 25? And I'll flip over there. It's going to be Exodus chapter 21, verses 23 through 25. And I'll give you a minute to get there. So in Exodus chapter 21, verses 23 through 25, the Bible says, "And if any mischief follow them that shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for wound, stripe for stripe." What is the principle here? An eye for an eye. What does that mean when you normally say that to somebody? Or if the old law, an eye for an eye means whatever you do to me, I do to you, right? If you look at the old Western, some of these old Westerns, you have these cowboys. Alright, well, if someone rode into town and shot a member of their gang, what was going to happen? They would go and shoot you or a member of your gang, an eye for an eye. So that basically it's the same thing. You know, you cannot judge, for ye shall be judged. You cannot give an eye for an eye. If you do, if you take an eye, one will be taken from you. If you judge somebody else for their sin, you're going to be judged for your sin. It's the same principle. Now, we're going to change gears, and we're going to go over into Romans. And we're going to read chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. So in Romans 2, verses 12 through 16, the Bible says, "For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now, some of those verses, it kind of gets confusing. But it drives home a couple of points. We will try to go through them piece by piece. And we'll go to question number 7. We must first identify the two groups of people in the world Paul mentions in verse 12. Now, on your paper it says, those with the Mosaic law. Now, that is not asking for the title of those who carry the law. It's just talking about the group of people. Remember that when it comes to Scripture, there are two groups of people. So those with the Mosaic law would be who? You can either be one or the other. Jews. So the ones with the Mosaic law would be Jews. So that leaves those without the Mosaic law or who? Gentiles. So Paul is talking about Jews and Gentiles. He's speaking to them. Now, question number 8, are both groups going to be judged? That's a pretty easy question. Yes, both groups are going to be judged. All of us are going to be judged. Now we're going to get into the meat of this. What is more important? Is it more important to hear the law, or is it more important to do the law? It is important to do the law. If you spend your life, and I've said this before, if you come to church on Wednesdays and Sundays, and you can hear the Scripture, you can hear the Gospel, and you can go home and you can study it yourself, and that is all well and good. But if you walk out that door, and like the example I used on Sunday, if you walk out that door, and those doors are pretty much like these big erasers, and you forget everything that you just heard when you walk out, then you've done God and Christ no glory at all. Because you cannot just read the Word, you can't just study it, you have to apply it at some point. If you cannot apply the Word to your life, then you haven't learned, and you haven't brought any glory to Christ. So it is more important not just to hear it, it is more important to do the law. Now, all of us as sinners, we are not Jesus Christ. We cannot fulfill the point of the law. The Ten Commandments are there to prove to you that you can. Not to give you a guide to live by, but to show you that as a sinner, you can't do it. Now, what standard do those without God's written revelation use for their lives? Now this is where it gets confusing, because we're looking at verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, so those who don't have the law to read, do by nature the things contained in the law, so they do by their nature, by human nature, things that are against God and things that they shouldn't do, these having not the law, or law unto themselves. Now, what standard do those without God's written revelation, what do they use for their lives? Well, they would go off the basis of their works. Or God would judge on the basis of works. God is impartial. He doesn't play favorites. So He's not going to judge the Jews. He's not going to judge the Gentiles by the Jewish law, right? Because they've never heard it. And He's not going to judge the Jews off of the works of the Gentiles, because they have the law. It's basically saying those who have heard the law and are not ignorant to it are held accountable to it for your own action. Those who have not heard the law cannot be held accountable to the same, because they're ignorant to the works of God. So what He would use are works. And this drives home a whole nother point. Because it brings to light, number one, why missionary work is important. Missionaries go to foreign lands. We can say they go to Puerto Rico. They go to Africa. They go to South America. They go to Peru. They go to all these places that have never heard the Word of God. Think about Christ when He sent His disciples. Christ stayed inside of Judea. But where did His disciples go? They went out to different parts of the country. Why? Because there were people there that had never heard the Word of God that Christ said were chosen to hear the Word of God. But they would not. They had to be called, right? God had already chosen, but He had vessels, disciples, missionaries, that He used to put in these foreign fields so that they would hear His Word. They would hear that calling. They would know His law. That's what makes this work so important. Because without missionaries and without teachers, there's whole generations of kids and adults that are on their way to hell for the simple reason of they're ignorant to the Word of God. God does not want to send them to hell, so He sends people like us, missionaries, to teach them. That's what He uses them. How will God use their own standards to pass judgment on them? He will go by their works, right? Works of their heart. Because what is it about your heart that points out things about you? Those that you keep in your heart, what you treasure in your heart is what you put away, right? So if you treasure God in Christ, then you would do His work. But if you treasure the world, then you're going to give to the world. Will give away who you are loyal to or what you love. So the works of the heart, and when it says in verse 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. So if the law is written in their hearts and they are striving to do the law, which you can't do the law, but they strive in the love of Christ to attempt to do the best that they can, knowing they're sinners, but they know that they're forgiven. But they try, and it's written in their hearts. And in their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts. What goes on in your heart normally goes on in your mind, right? Your thoughts. What you think about comes from your heart. And that can use that to accuse people, where it says the means while accusing, or you can use it to excuse others. Either way, God sees the innermost of you in the works of your heart. He's going to know what you're doing. You can't keep anything from Him. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So what are you judged by? You're going to be judged by the works in your heart, your thoughts, your mind. And all your secrets are going to come out. God already knows your secrets. And you will be judged by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know Christ? Now, what does that say about differing standards of judgment for different people? How will standards differ for a person in America who owns a Bible and a person in... So what is the difference between the two?
A lot of these tribes and so on, they have these different idols, they have sun god and moon god, because they know that there's a god. They know there's something. They just don't have the full understanding.
Exactly. So in America, we definitely have, as the pastor said, let's use the internet for an example. Everybody has the internet. Everybody has tablets. Everybody has a computer at home. Well, that's true. That's true. Well, let's say every library has a computer that's open for the public to use. Let's go that route. But we have all the sources available. You have a Bible in every house. If you don't have one, I know you can walk the street up here at the Railroad Festival, and I think it's the Gideons, they hand out a little New Testament for free. There's Bibles on the shelf that you can get at a discounted price. If you want to spend the extra money for a study Bible, there's a Lifeway in Lynchburg. There's a lot of other Christian stores. Or, like I said, you can go online, and you can order anything you want offline. You can find anything. But we have all these sources available, and yet we still cannot fill a church on a Sunday. We still, there's lots of people out here, if you ask them who Jesus is, do not know. Have no earthly idea. You still have people out here that will worship the creation and the earth, but will deny the creator of it. The difference is the level of accountability. The tribes over in Africa, like the pastor said, they don't have the word and stuff like we do, but they still have creation. They still have a knowledge of there is a God. They know that there are reasons why these things happen, why the sun comes up, why the sun goes down, why the waters stay within their borders, why the seasons change, why death occurs, why life is born. But they don't know the full truth. So what they do is they create this world in their minds of, well, there's a sun god. The Egyptians did the same thing. Idolatry is nothing new. It's been around from Greeks. While the apostles were alive and while Jesus was alive, even while the Bible was being translated and put into a canon, there were still people who worshipped idols. There's still people today that worship idols. But when Christ comes back, they're going to be... He's given us every opportunity, especially in the United States, to learn about Him, to learn about His Son, to hear His gospel. Let's take sermon audio, for example. You can go to any pastor throughout the United States and abroad, and you can listen to their sermons on your headphones, on your phone, and it's there for you to listen to. You can still hear the Word of God. A person in Africa might not have that, but he can still look around and see what's around him. So there's different levels of accountability. And that on the Day of Judgment, we're all going to be held accountable for us. So why is it unwise to ignore the revelation God has given you? If you are ignorant of His law and you are ignorant of the work of Christ, is there hope for you? If you continue to not look at your sin and condemn others for theirs, what does that say about you? A righteous man can be just as much as a sinner as a lost soul. Do you remember when Jesus gave the parable of the Pharisee? And I want to get this right. There was the Pharisee and then the other guy, and they were praying in the temple. One was glad that he was not like the other one. But the other man beat upon his chest and said, "Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner." Who went home that day justified? Who did Jesus say went home that day? It wasn't the Pharisee. It was not the person who judged. It was the person who realized their own sin and did what Jesus is bringing home. And when He tells you, "Judge not, for ye shall be judged." Now, what role can your conscience play in keeping you from judging others unrighteously. Now, there is a right or wrong answer. But I cannot answer this for you because I do not have your conscience. Each one of us has been given a unique conscience. Each one of us is different. And those are gifts of God. So He has given you a conscience. So what role does that play from judging others? My conscience would be, before I looked at somebody and asked, well, why is this person not attending church regularly? I first would have to look at myself and say, well, what type of job am I doing? You know, because I need to be here better myself. So I have no right to look at the next person and ask why they're not here. Or, you know, I'm no better than anybody else. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, I could still be on the same road as the person that you're looking down on. A lot of times we forget that. It's nothing that we did. I can't go, good job, Matt. You saved yourself from that one. I didn't do it. Or, good job, Matt. You know, you spoke pretty good. I didn't do it. The words and the knowledge is already here. You just got to take the time to read it. And as you read it, take the time to apply it. Because if you apply it, it will change your life. It will help you and your conscience. Because as you read the Bible, things start to happen. It's not going to be, you're not going to look outside and see a brand new Lamborghini. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, the inside of you will start to change. Why? Because it starts with your heart. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts. As you read, your heart changes. And as your heart changes, what else is going to follow it? Your mind, your thoughts. So your heart's going to tell your mind, you know, you're going to differentiate, you're going to differ between right and wrong. You're going to know it. The Bible is going to show you. Now, yes, it might not always be popular opinion, but it's going to show you right from wrong. And I would much rather be right with God and wrong in the world than be right in the world and wrong with God and lose salvation. Well, you can't lose salvation, but what I'm saying is gain a life here, but lose your soul. The world cannot give you what Christ can give you. The world cannot give you what the Bible gives you. But your conscience will change. Your heart will change. And it all starts with your heart. Then you'll start finding yourself. You know, before you look at somebody else, you're going to look at yourself. Because when you finally come, it's like the parable of the lost son. The lost son left. Before he came back, what happened? It's first. So there was a change. Then he came home. And who was there to meet him? And like the parallel is, just as we come to our senses as sinners, and as we come to our senses and not judging others, when we start to come home, who meets us? Who comes to us? Christ, right? The Father. So as we close today, just keep in mind, before you judge or look down on somebody else, look at your own heart first. And as you look at your own heart, look to God, read His Word, and let that point you in the direction, not your own thoughts. And if all hearts and minds, does anybody have any questions or anything? If not, then I'll dismiss us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for allowing us to gather here today in Your house to worship You and Your Son, Christ, Lord. Lord, help us to always put You first, to keep You first, to look to You in all things. Help us not to judge others. Help us always to do Your work in our lives so that You may use us to point others towards Your Son so that He may save them as He has saved us as sinners. Father, forgive us of our sins. Lead, guide, and direct us throughout today. And all these things we ask in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.